church because I wanted to still show up. So now you know who the special guest preacher is. Like Brother Frabel read, we'll be in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. Since the second I found out, anybody who knows me, once I find out that I'm getting an opportunity to preach, I'm nervous immediately. From the time I find out till about a minute and a half into the sermon. Not nervous in a scared, bad way, but nervous in a, you know, I don't take the opportunity lightly, and I just, all I can think about is there's people here that want to hear something from God, and, you know, I don't want to get ahead of that. So I've the same this time as it was before. You know, all week I've just been nervous and prepping, and, you know, I was talking to a pastor this morning. He called me just to tell me he was praying for me, and that he misses the church, and I asked him, I said, how come every time I gotta preach, God has to mess with my head? He's gotta put me through this emotional thing. You know, I keep tweaking things, I'm showing you new things, and I never feel like I have that message settled. I know what I'm gonna preach, but I never feel like I have the message settled. And praise the Lord, before I get up there, he always settles the message, which helps me know it's from him and not me, because I'm always so scatterbrained up until the second I start. But I'm gonna take a moment this morning. Pray God use me just to hit on the topic of faith. Those of you that have been around long enough, you know, a long, long time ago I preached a message about faith. It'd be slightly different than this, but I always find myself wanting to preach on that topic. I don't know why, it's just something that's always on my mind, thinking about faith and what faith has done in my life. So here we are, God giving me another message on faith. First of all, I just want to take a second and explain. You know, some people might think you don't have faith. You know, they don't understand faith. They think it's this big thing. And, every single person uses faith. Every day. Some of us have really big faith. Some of us have really small faith. I mean, you've probably heard this illustration many times. You guys exhibited faith this morning when you went out to your car. And you stuck the key in and you turned it. You had faith. You didn't sit there and wonder like, oh man, it's my car. I mean, unless you drive my car because I got 97 key in. Most people went out into their car and said, they just expected it to start. Nobody, when they woke up, was like, oh my goodness, I got to prep in case my car doesn't start. We just assume it until you get in there and it doesn't start. So you exhibit faith that it's going to work. If I go sit in that pew over there, I don't sit here and take measurements and do a weight capacity, you know, figure everything out. I just sit in it. I have faith that it's going to hold me up. All right, so everybody has faith. Now that obviously takes very, very, very little faith. Just a general thing. Other people have really big faith. You see them accomplishing things for God. Alright. I also want you to understand that faith isn't this magical trait that we acquire. People tend to think like, I don't have faith. Like, how do you get that faith? It's not something you acquire. It's more like a muscle. We've heard pastors say this before, and I believe wholeheartedly. It's something that you have to stretch and work out and exercise to strengthen it. If you want to build faith, you have to exercise your faith. That's how you build it. That's how it becomes a bigger muscle. It's not just this thing that's going to poof out of the sky and then you're going to all of a sudden acquire. So, Lord willing, I'm going to pray here. Just ask for his blessing on the service. I'm going to get right into the message here. And I just pray he uses me to just help us a little bit on the topic of faith. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit, Lord. And I don't know why. Sometimes I wonder why I was asked to preach, Lord. I don't feel worthy. I always feel so scattered brain, Lord. But I know that I've put in time in prayer, Lord, and studying. And I know that you've prepared this message for me, Lord. And I pray that it be preached exactly like that. A message from you, Lord. I pray that you'd get me out of the way, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message, Lord, and just speak to hearts, Lord, as you've spoken to mine. I pray that you'd cause the Christian, Lord, to think about their faith, Lord, and that today they get some principles or something to help them to strengthen that faith. Lord, I pray that there's going to be anybody here today that has not put in their faith and trust in you to get to heaven. Lord, I pray that this message would convict their heart, help them to realize the need of a Savior, Lord, that we see souls saved here in this service. Lord, again, I pray you just bless this service, Lord. Please use me, Lord, to be a blessing to these folks. Keep us safe. Bring us back again tonight to hear our brother preach tonight, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, bear with me. I'm not as technology savvy. I don't have the nice iPad. Yeah, this is my iPad. so bear with me. We're doing a little reading, but I just do it that way because I write so much stuff, and then it changes, and then all that. If I did an iPad, it'd probably take me 10 years. All right, so the first thing I want to point out about faith, something that will help us to grow our faith and grow that muscle of faith, is be persistent. Verses 15 and 16 says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic." This was my dad talking to Jesus, because I'm a lunatic. "And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." You're probably wondering how these verses indicate that he's being persistent. Notice here that he didn't just stop after he went to the disciples. He went to the disciples, they couldn't cure him. What did he do? He persisted, and he kept pressing forward until he got to Jesus. Alright? He didn't just stop because he thought, my faith is shot. They couldn't heal him. Those are Jesus' disciples. He couldn't heal them. He kept pressing forward to get to Jesus. Something we ought to do also. And notice here, he didn't just stop when the men of God failed him. You know, and a lot of times, you know, and we ought to. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are stronger than us and have been through some things, and we go to them and look for guidance, and we ought to do that. I think that God puts those people in our lives for that. But let's not forget that we're all men, sinners saved by grace, just like everybody else. That shouldn't be our last thing that we're relying on. We should always keep going forward and find Jesus. Find out what he has to say about it, just like this man did here. Alright? So, I'm going to give you a little illustration here. It's a very small illustration of faith, but you'll understand my point. Fred will especially understand where I'm coming from, because once he hears the illustration. But I used to be in the painting business years ago. My uncle owned a painting business, and years ago he allowed me to work for him. And at one point, I was very nervous to go up a ladder. I don't know if it was because I didn't trust myself going up the ladder, or I didn't trust the ladder to hold me up, but for whatever reason, I was extremely nervous about ladders. It wasn't even necessarily for any reason. I didn't even care if I fell. I don't know. It was just, it's one of those things. You know how it is when you're on the ladder, especially when you're high up. It's just wobbly. The wind's blowing. You're just waiting for that one wrong move, and that's all you're thinking about. You're not even thinking about what you're doing up there painting. I'm like, whatever. The paint on this wall, I'm trying to get off this ladder. Now, I was really unsure of myself on the ladder, but I had to do my job. My uncle would tease me a little bit. You know, he's been doing it for so many years. He'd fly up and down ladders like it was nothing. And I'd be like, one rung, two rungs. I didn't even alternate legs. It was like I had a broken leg going up the ladder. But as I climbed the ladders more and more, got more used to it, and I was just trying to prove my uncle wrong, because he's always calling me and telling me I was scared. My eyes hurt. I'm shaking my legs, trying to prove him wrong. But as I got up the ladders more and more, eventually I started realizing I wasn't that nervous to go up the ladder anymore. Started alternating legs. Started going up, and before you know it, after quite some time of working for him, I started going up with a gallon bucket here, a 5 gallon bucket here, paint sticks, roller arms, sandpaper. I mean, I was just, I'd go up with no hands. I could walk up the ladder. Now, obviously, that's slightly different when it comes to God, but you understand the point. The more and more I did it, the more and more I got comfortable with it, the more and more my confidence and faith grew in my ability to get up those ladders. Right? And here, I think that this man's ability, through this passage you see, eventually he talks to, you know, he's persistent, he talks to Christ, and Christ then cures his son. I think that that probably grew his faith after his persistence. Well, it's the same with us. We may lack faith because we're unsure of ourselves as Christians. Might wonder if we can actually serve him, or nobody's going to want to listen to me, or you think about your past and you think, nobody's going to listen to me because they know me. They knew who I used to be before Christ. Nobody wants to hear anything about God from me. Or you could possibly not even have faith in God. You might think God's not able, whether it be to help you or help to the people or whatever it is. But we might not be completely confident in trusting God. But if we just keep climbing that ladder of faith, just like I kept climbing those ladders in painting, eventually you get a little more comfortable, a little more trusting in God as you allow Him to work, allow Him to get you up that ladder. Now, understand something. If I just stood at the bottom of the ladder all the time and just hoped I was going to get better at climbing ladders, I would still be just as bad at climbing ladders. I actually had to climb the ladder. That's what got me better. Doing it. It's the same thing here with God. You need to do it. You need to exercise that faith. Allow God to get you up that ladder. Alright, so you see here to be persistent. I'll also bring you to another point here. Just don't let doubt undo your faith. As you get up that ladder, you start building the faith. You're going up there, you're getting more comfortable serving God, you're seeing Him work, you're seeing Him do some things, you might be leading someone to the Lord, you might be getting visitors at the church, you might be getting more faithful in tithing, you might, whatever it is, you're seeing Him work. Well, don't allow your doubt to sneak in there. And you see in verse 19 and 20, it says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." They didn't believe they could do it. Right? That's why they couldn't do it. He tells them right there, because of your unbelief. Well, you see over in Mark chapter 6, verse 7. I'll turn there quickly. Just want to read a verse here for you. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." You see that Christ gave his disciples power over unclean spirits. He gave them power. Before he sent them out, he gave them ability to do things. Even with us, Christ enables us to be able to do things. He never expects us to do something that we can't do. He always gives us the ability to do it. Well, it's the same here. He gave these men the ability to go out there and do it. We see that. But because of their unbelief, they couldn't cast out this spirit. Now, when I used to doubt my ability to climb those ladders, I would be so unstable on them. My knees would knock, and I'd accomplish pretty much nothing. I mean, I was in slow motion at work. I was barely painting anything because I was scared of that. I'd always be like, "Oh, I'm gonna do those baseboards over there." On the ground baseboards. I see that closet over there needs some painting. Why don't you go up there and paint that? And I never wanted to go up there. But after I stopped doubting it, I could go up and down ladders with my hands full of things. No problem. I had no struggle. Now, let me point out, in order to get up and down those things, it took time and work to build that faith. And you know what? It takes time and work to build your faith in God also. You're not going to become the most faithful man of God overnight because you want to. It takes some work. There's some things you have to do. The Holy Spirit has some things He's trying to get you to do, get you to pay attention to, and we need to listen to that. We need to allow God to stretch our faith, to show us how He's going to work, to prove ourselves. You know, I noticed when I was climbing ladders, the more I realized that the ladder is going to actually hold my weight, I started believing more in the ladder. It's the same thing with Christ. When you start allowing Him to work in your life and see that He's going to hold you up, you start kind of having more faith in the fact that He's going to do it again. You don't start doubting His strength. You don't start doubting His ability to hold you up or get you up to that place to paint or whatever you're doing on the ladder. Same with God. Now, can I tell you why it's so important to not let unbelief creep in? And you might think, "Oh, this one time I had some unbelief." This is the problem with unbelief. Unbelief gets in there and it causes a break in your faith. It's just like working out a muscle. You ever been working out for a long time? John, you know, you're into fitness. You ever work out for a while and then all of a sudden you break a leg, break an ankle, whatever, you can't work out for a month? You know, so when you start working out again, you're not exactly where you were when you're working out all the time. You kind of have to backtrack, and the longer you get away from exercising, the more you have to put back in just to get back to where you were. It's the same thing with your faith. It's the same thing. The more you allow things to creep in there and cause a break in your faith and your trusting of God, the harder it is to get back just to where you left off. And that's all that missed time where you could have been that much more of a Christian. Instead, we're just trying to get back to point A. Same thing here. After I stopped baiting, it was a few years. I met that guy right there. I got in the glass business. And there he had ladders for me again. I remember the first time, he was like, "You scared?" I'm like, "I'm not scared. I used to do this all the time. I'm scared of hitting the ground at the bottom." You know? So there I was, faced with ladders again. I realized my faith in ladders was shook. There was a few years in between. I'm like, "Here we go again. I got to figure out these stinking ladders. I got to carry this and that. I got to carry a piece of glass that can cut my arm off." I'm like, "Oh man, it was crazy." Well, my faith was broken in ladders. I had to learn that all over again. So that's why you don't want to let unbelief creep in there. It'll take away from all the work you've been putting in to build your faith, to build that muscle, to get closer to God, and to allow God to work. You know, every time you build your faith, it's because God has done something for it. You ever notice that? You allowed God to do something. You've tried your faith. You've allowed those trials to build you up. All right, so we see we need to be persistent, not let doubt creep in. My third point is a little faith goes a long way. Verse 20 again says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." He tells you to have faith as a mustard seed. Does anybody know why Jesus used a mustard seed? He could have used any other illustration, and he purposely used a mustard seed. Just a couple pages back here in Matthew chapter 13, I'll show you from the Word of God why he used a mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. The Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Jesus knew what he was talking about when he used a grain of mustard seed. He knew that a grain of mustard seed is so tiny. But when it grows, and it's nurtured, and it's allowed to grow, not only is it huge, it's the greatest of all herbs, it also offers protection to these birds. Same with our faith. The more your faith grows, you never notice how much more you feel in the grace of God, closer to God, in the bosom of God, and how safe you feel there when your faith can't be shaken. Have you ever been to that point in your life where no matter what is going on, you're like, "I don't care. Really, I don't care. Can't pay my bills. Lost my job. My car broke down. I just broke my hand. My house lighted on fire, but I'm on my way to heaven. So I don't care.
Amen.
I really don't care. It doesn't make a difference. You know, all I think about is heaven. My Sunday school class knows I think about heaven all the time. When I was hearing you guys sing, it's a whole different perspective being up here. I'm used to hearing it back there. When you're up here, you get to hear all those voices come at you, and I just picture heaven. I can't wait, because that, it gets me all crazy and anxious just hearing it here. Can you imagine what it's going to sound like in heaven? When all the saints are up there praising Jesus, I'm going to be next to my dad acting like a nut. I'll tell you that. You think he's the only one that will be jumping around in heaven, you are fooled, because I'm going to be up there right next to him.
Amen.
Now, it goes a long way. With just a little bit of faith, you can move mountains. Okay? Now, I'm not saying the most faith-filled man here is going to go out back behind me and go up to South Mountain and say, "Move over! I got to drive through this." I'm not expecting you to move the mountain and cast it into the sea. Okay? But I do know that all of us do have mountains in our lives.
Yeah, come on.
You have the mountain of alcohol hindering you, mountain of drugs, debt, a broken family, depression. We all have mountains in our lives, whatever it is. Some might not seem like a mountain to me, and my mountains might not seem like a mountain to you, but nevertheless, we have things in our lives that we know if we let it get to us, it is going to stop us. It's going to get in our way.
Come on.
Now, I know that we all think our mountains are way too big. You're not the only one that has gone through that and thinks this mountain's too big. I've been there too, where I thought I'm never going to get past this, or even maybe we get to the point where we think God's not going to, can't do anything about our problem, even though he created the whole world, but there's no way he's going to help me with whatever it is. We've all been there. But take a look again at the end of verse 20, over in chapter 17, verse 20. What are the last words? It says, "And nothing shall be impossible unto you." Why? Because of your faith. Nothing is impossible with faith in Christ. Nothing. There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing that we can present to him that is going to startle him. First of all, he already knew it was going to happen before it even happened. So he's not like shocked that this instance is happening in your life. He's not blown away by it. On top of it, it's nothing to him. He's seen it a million times. We're not the first person to deal with that problem. Believe me. And anyone that showed faith in that area, he helped them too. Half the time, he's helping me out even realize it until way down the line. I'm thinking, man, I need to pray for that. God's helping me out. And I'm thankful for it. So know that there's nothing impossible. If you put your faith in God's ability, it's not going to be anything impossible. Don't let that doubt get in your way. Don't let anything get in your way. Believe what the Word of God says. That brings me to number four. Sometimes we must pair our faith with uncomfortable practice. Verse 21 says, "How be it?" Now he's saying, faith and mustard seed, you can do anything. He's also adding, "How be it," because this is a mountain, "this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Sometimes we don't feel like praying a regular amount of time of prayer, let alone extra for a huge mountain that needs to be moved. Hard enough for us to keep a prayer closet daily, let alone spend that extra time we know that the Holy Spirit's leading us to have. And fasting, if anybody has ever fasted, sometimes it's hard to do. It's not a comfortable thing, especially if you fasted for a period of time. You know, I can get through a day, maybe two, maybe three. When you start hitting four or five, six, and above that, fasting can be super uncomfortable because you ever notice every time you fast, suddenly you're partner at work wants a Whopper. We haven't gone out for lunch all week. Now he wants a Whopper. The first day I'm having hunger pains, this guy wants to be having fries, honey mustard. He's overeating. I can't eat this. You want this? You've never offered me something in lunch. He's looking at me. He's like, I have one of those lunch breaks. So those are the days that suddenly everybody wants to offer you food and your mom calls you, "Oh, you know, we're having dinner. We're having steaks. You want to come over?" Yes, I can. Sorry, it's always the day. Suddenly someone wants to drop off groceries that are going to spoil in 2 days, and you have how much time that it's like, it's weird how that happens. But it's uncomfortable, nevertheless. I'll tell you a little story. I don't recommend anyone doing this, but for illustration purpose, and I know all my illustrations revolve around the ladder, but I was pretty stinking scared of ladders for a while, so you just have to bear with me on the ladder illustrations. But when I was working for my uncle, there was a time when we were doing this job, and we were outside, and this job was a huge job, and came to this point where we were doing this part outside, and we were painting everything on these ladders, and he had huge ladders. Well, there was this one point where this house decided to be at this huge point. And we got up there, and we realized, no matter who stretched out on this thing, there's far away to reach it. Like, what in the world? So, my uncle says, let's put it on the bumper of the truck. Hey, Ryan, go up there and paint that. And I'm like, no, Ryan, I ain't going up there to paint that. I'm not going up there to paint that. And he teased me for a while, and I said, listen, dude, I'm scared to go on the ladder when it's on the ground. You want me to go on the bumper of this Astro van? I'm like, nah, it's not happening. That bumper's going to fall off. I'm going to crack my head open. I'm going to die because we needed to reach this thing. Go get some scaffolding. We'll finish this next week. So I kept fighting him. Well, my uncle, he's not scared on those ladders, and he goes get the job done. He's the boss. So eventually, after he teases me, and I was like, I don't care. This time, I'm not trying to prove you wrong. Then he realized I wasn't going up the ladder, so he got up that ladder. He shot up to the top, finished the job, came down, was like, told you. And he continued to tease me, and I was like, whatever, I don't care. I was good down here too. That time, I didn't care about the teasing. Moral of the story is, while I was standing down here, now I don't recommend you putting a ladder on the back of a bumper, but while I was down on the ground looking up, standing there, not getting it done, my uncle was up at the top of the ladder getting the job done. So I ask you again, do you have mountains in your life? Are you struggling with alcohol? Struggling with drugs? Struggling to understand that Christ died for you on the cross? Christian, are you struggling with getting out and going soul winning? Here, read this. You're struggling with it because it's awkward. Because I got to tell you, I do it. And I've gotten better, but still, after how many years of soul winning and how many doors knock, the first one's still kind of like, don't let me answer this one. Let me put four tracks in the doors, and then on the fifth one, then I'll talk to someone, I'll be ready. And they always answer the first door. It's the only one there. It's always the first. You're always nervous. But are you struggling with that? I got a challenge for you. Get up the ladder and get the job done.
Amen.
Don't stand down there at the bottom of the ladder not getting the job done like I did. Because I'll tell you, if my uncle didn't go up that ladder, I wasn't getting painted. And it would have looked awkward for this section not getting painted on the outside of this house. I stayed down at the bottom. I did not care. And it wasn't happening. I wasn't going up that ladder. My uncle went up there and got the job done. Like I said, that's my challenge here today. Is there something that you're struggling with? Is there a mountain in your life? You know, we've given the small things to God to let Him build our faith. But we always talk about how we want this big faith. We meet these preachers that we know are walking with God. We get around them. And I'm not even necessarily preachers. I shouldn't just say preachers. You know, I get around my dad. I know my dad loves the Lord. You know, I use my dad as an illustration because my dad, I'm not trying to say that he's any better or worse than anyone here. But I've watched him from the day he got saved. And my dad used to struggle with alcohol. He had a mountain. He got saved. He ain't never had that mountain since. That doesn't mean that the mountain's not still in his sight. But he sure ain't focused on it. He's getting up the ladder and getting the job done. Because he's put his faith in God. Not himself. He never said, oh, I won't drink alcohol on it. He said, trust me, I'll speak for him because I know him well enough to know that he said, God, I can't not drink that alcohol. But you can keep me from it. You're going to have to keep me away.
That's right.
Get that habit out of here.
Amen.
And my dad can stand up here in front of this whole church and be honest and say, since the day he got saved, he never drank alcohol again.
Right.
I wish I could say that, because there was a time from when I got saved, I know there was a part of my life where I let some things affect me and I got away from God. I was probably a better sinner after salvation for a little while than I was before, which is sad.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the details because I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of it. I wish I could say what you said. But I do know that since then, and when I started stretching my faith, God gave me some ladders. And day by day, I try to keep climbing.
Amen.
I've noticed that the ladders keep coming. And every time I'm kind of like, oh, it's windy out. I got to climb this ladder. See, at the beginning when I got in glass with this gentleman, I was doing auto glass, and they're on the ground. It was awesome. Now I'm doing residential, and there's stuff up in the air with wind blowing. I hate it, but I go up the ladder. So, same thing with my walk with God. When He presents me a ladder, I just try to get on the ladder and start climbing.
Yeah,
I just figure God's there holding it up.
Yes,
on those real tall ladders, someone comes up and puts your foot on that bottom rung, holds the sides. You ever notice when you're climbing a ladder, you feel a whole lot more sturdy when there's someone down there?
Yeah.
Not letting it fall? Guess what? Jesus Christ puts His foot on that bottom rung for you.
Yeah, come on.
You're saved. I gave you. As we talked about this morning, Great Commission. Let's go. Got a job to get done. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the song leaders. It's not just for missionaries, pastors. It's for all of us. Anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior.
That's right.
We have a calling to tell people about it.
Come on.
They're not going to find out of thin air. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where are they hearing the Word of God?
Amen.
At the club, at the bar, at the restaurant?
Good, come on.
No, they're not hearing it. They're hearing about it from us. They might not even hear it at a church. There are people that go to church and they never hear what Jesus Christ did because the church doesn't even know what He did. We gotta get out there. We gotta knock doors. We gotta see people at the Wawa. Yeah, it's really awkward when I just paid for Powerade. Now I'm telling you, when you have a break, can you read this? And they're going, yeah, it's awkward, but who cares? Who cares? I'm glad that someone was awkward enough to tell me the gospel.
Hey!
And He came all the time. He came all the time. He was probably only awkward for Him because I made it awkward because I was trying to dance around Him. Oh, He's there. Go in the back door and find a reason why I gotta get up to my room. But luckily, on that day, one day, my brother was sitting there talking to him. For whatever reason, instantly, I felt like I needed to sit there. And you know that I got saved because someone was giving the gospel to someone else?
Amen.
He wasn't even witnessing to me that day. He was talking to my brother. And I heard that word of God because finally, I sit down. Shut up for 5 minutes. I heard the gospel. It wasn't even looking at me. It was not talking to me at all. I heard the gospel and I knew that I was dying going to hell. My brother got saved. And right after I got saved. And I was so dumb I didn't even know what to say. I started crying at first because I was like, I don't even know what to say. I know, I believe every single word that you said. I know I'm going to hell and I need a Savior. I don't even know how to pray for it. But you know what? I found the words. I prayed it, and I know, beyond a shadow of that. I don't remember dates and times. People remember dates and times. That's one day I don't ever forget. I can tell you every detail of that time of sitting down there, hearing that gospel, getting saved. And I know what God has done every time I let Him stretch my faith. So I ask you, just have one question, and we're finished. Short message. I know people like when I preach, because we're not here until 2:30. Do you want to have the kind of faith that can move mountains and get you past the mountains you're dealing with in your life? I want to show you quickly where it starts to get that faith to move a mountain. It starts back in verse 14. Let me show you the position that you need to take to get that faith. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling." That man was kneeling. That's where it starts for us. Kneeling at that altar. Not necessarily this altar, but there's an altar you can have in your heart. You have that chance to hear the gospel. There's an altar that you should be kneeling at. That's where that faith starts. It's putting your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. We know. The Bible tells us that because the wages of sin are what?
Death.
Death. We have a penalty to pay for our sin. It's hell. It's a real burning hell. And if you don't think so, ask the rich man. Because he knows. There is a way to heaven. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Okay.
That's the way. There's not ways.
Come on.
There's not avenues.
That's right.
There's no plural. It says, I am the way. Not I am the option, choose package C. Here's a good thought. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the way to heaven. Thankfully, the Bible also tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever is a big fancy word for any of us.
Yeah.
Any one of us can start that faith to move mountains. I can tell you one thing, it's not going to be faith of yourself. I don't have enough faith to get up 3 rungs of a ladder by myself. Christ has all the faith in the world to get the victory over the world. Now, I know it's a short message. I hope it helps some of us. I just want us to think here. As a Christian, someone that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, is your faith where you know it ought to be? Is your faith where you want to be? I think all of us can answer no, even those of us who have a larger faith than others. Always room for more growth.
Yeah.
Right. We're still here. God's still working.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I ask you, Christian, is there something in your life that's blocking you? Is there a mountain that you need to conquer? Is there a mountain that you need to discuss with God down here at this altar? And put your faith, just like you put faith in Him to save your soul. Remember that moment, how much different that faith is than your thing you call faith when you're trying to act like you're praying for something? You know for sure that you are saved. There's nobody that's going to convince me otherwise. I know it for a fact. I'm on my way to heaven. That's why I'm happy every day.
Yes.
Well, guess what? I know for sure that God can take care of my little tiny problems.
That's right.
He can take care of my rent payment. My other question is, if you're someone here that hasn't taken that first step of faith, and I accepted Christ, if you're someone here that does not know for sure, not wonder, not hope, not maybe, but know for sure that you did what the Bible says to get to heaven. You have an opportunity today to make the greatest leap of faith you could possibly make. It should be the beginning of you getting to that point where you can have the faith to move mountains and conquer all those problems that are in your way. It's a chance to come to Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior and put all of your faith in Him as the way to heaven. I'm going to ask Sister Lori if you could please make your way to the piano. I ask everybody, if you all stand on your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I said, I have 2 things to think about. I just ask that during this time of altar call, I realize how important it is. It's not just a thing that we do. This is a thing where we come to Christ and we get to where we need to be for Him to use us and change us. And I ask, again, I said, if you're someone that does not know Christ as your Savior, you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, but you would like to know what the Bible says about how to get to heaven, how to put that faith in Christ, and you're willing to do that today, I just ask, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if you'd please raise your hand so I can pray for you. Again, I ask, Christian, if there's anything now in your life that you know is a mountain in your life and you need to be dealt with, your faith has not been put where it needs to be put. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like this man, how he pursued, he was persistent and found Jesus, and because of his faith, his son was made whole. And he asks, if the piano begins to play, if there's something you're dealing with and you have to deal with here at the Lord, just meet me down here at the altar.